We want to read the Word of God tonight from the book of Exodus, and chapter 7, and we will read from verse 10. We'll read down to the conclusion of this chapter and into chapter 8 as well. We'll finish at verse 7 of chapter 8. So Exodus chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, and upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thine eating troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Amen. We'll end there, chapter 8, verse 7. We know the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this portion of Scripture that we have read. Don't really have a text as such tonight, don't have a text at all, but more a theme, and that's the plagues of Egypt. So we're going to cover a lot of ground this evening on thinking about these plagues. We've read a portion about the beginning of the plagues. The first two, we read about the water turning into blood and the frogs. And we want to consider this theme this evening. I was preparing notes for Sunday school, and the Lord so touched my own heart and spoke to me through this that I felt the urge to preach on it as well. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord for his help. Our Father, We do ask thee to bless thy word to us as we open up the scriptures and consider it, as we read these verses and portions that we will turn to. Lord, we know this theme in a general sense, but we pray tonight that we might see something of the spiritual truths and spiritual lessons that are here as well. Some of them may be in the background, but nevertheless present. And we ask thee to apply them to our hearts this night. O Lord, may we indeed be those who hear the Lord and obey his word. May we know the benefits of obedience. That obedience brings blessing. It brings life. And we pray that we might be those who have entered into eternal life because we have obeyed the Lord and the command of his word to repent and believe the gospel. Have mercy to be with us. May there be profit as we meditate upon these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Pharaoh is the title that is given to the ancient kings of Egypt. The name Pharaoh means great house. And the scripture tells us that there was one particular Pharaoh that God was going to raise up as a member of this great house. And he was going to deal with him in a particular way. And he would be an example to all who would come across his life story. In Romans chapter 9, verse 17, it says there, "The scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." So the Lord is going to take one member out of this house. There's a number of pharaohs that are mentioned in the scriptures. But the Lord is going to take one particular individual, this man Pharaoh that we have read a little bit about this evening. And the Lord is going to deal with him in a particular way. And in doing so, the Lord is lifting him up as an example to anybody that comes into contact with him, who reads about him in the scriptures or who hears of him preached from the scriptures. This man is to teach us many lessons. For Pharaoh is a picture of the obstinate heart, who refuses to listen to the commands of God, and who even goes as far as to seek to play and bargain with God, because Pharaoh did all of those things. God gave this man warning as to what would happen if he did not obey. The command that was given to Pharaoh was to let my people go, release Israel. They were in bondage, as we know. They were in captivity. They were slaves to the Egyptians. And the command came through Moses that they were to be let go, that God would take them to worship him and take them on to the land that he had promised for them as well. But Pharaoh would not hear. He would not give heed. God increased his warnings so that he might relent and obey. But Pharaoh defied God and would not obey him at all. And God told them that the defiance of God would only bring greater trouble and eternal destruction upon him. Or even in the midst of this record of obstinate refusal to hear and obey God, there are examples of those who did obey. There are servants in Pharaoh's court who obeyed. That which hardened Pharaoh's heart softened other people's heart. And in many ways, that is the preaching of the gospel. We know that it is the savour of life unto life, and it is the savour of death unto death. They can hear the same preaching, they can hear the same message, they can hear the same exhortations to obey the Lord and to get right with God. And for some, it softens their heart that they believe, and for others, it hardens their heart that they will not believe. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, you read there, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." It's in the context of the fifth plague, the murrain, the livestock disease that came upon the animals in Egypt. And it tells us there that there were servants among Pharaoh's, in Pharaoh's court, who listened and obeyed the word of God. They took heed to what Pharaoh was hearing. This message that Moses and Aaron was bringing to Pharaoh, they took heed to it, and they went out and they brought their cattle in and preserved their cattle and their servants alive. All the time, Pharaoh heard the same message, but grew more defiant of God. It was Pharaoh's refusal to obey God and to let the children of Israel go that brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt. He was told to let them go, and if he did not let them go, then, as we have read tonight here, God sent the message through Moses and Aaron that this was going to happen. Disobedience always brings judgment from God. A failure to obey God and to take heed to what he says and in his word and to act in obedience to that command will always bring trouble down upon ourselves and upon others as well. And that certainly was true with regards to Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. As you know, there's 10 plagues. It starts off with the water being turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the murine, the boils, the hail, and the thunder, the locusts, and the darkness, finishing off with the plague of the firstborn. That was the conclusion. Now, as I say, I want us to think about these plagues in a general sense and notice some lessons, spiritual lessons, that are applicable in the gospel as well. The first thing I want you to consider here is that the plagues could have been avoided. The plagues could have been avoided. God had commanded a number of times that Israel were to be let go before the first of the plagues ever commenced. And if Pharaoh had obeyed and had let the people go, then there would have been no need for any of the plagues to have come upon the land of Israel. He should have obeyed. It is foolish for a man to contend with God. Job asks that question, can any contend with God and prosper? And the obvious answer is no. No man can contend with God. No man can defy God and disobey God and go well with him in the end. That's impossible for that to happen. And Pharaoh ought to have known that. So he had opportunity to obey God and do as he was commanded long before any of these plagues came. At any time during those plagues, when they did start, Pharaoh could have relented and obeyed God. And in doing so, he would have spared himself and spared the Egyptians the terrible judgments that were going to come upon him and upon the land of Egypt as the plagues progressed. For example, if you look at chapter 8, verse 15, instead of, well, we'll read the verse and then make a comment upon it. Chapter 8, verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. When he saw that there was respite, when the plague stopped, when God was gracious and put an end to the plague, and the plague didn't continue on continuously, but when there was an end to the plague, Pharaoh took it as an occasion to harden his heart even more. When there was respite, he thought, this is another opportunity to defy God. So in that time of respite, he could have obeyed. He could have taken heed to what the word of the Lord to him had been. But instead, he hardened his heart, stubbornly refused, even as I say, when others were going to see the folly of his ways and were going to exhort him to obey. Turn over to chapter 10 and verse 7. We're going to be picking out a number of verses through these chapters tonight, but here in chapter 10, verse 7, it says, Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? So there were those in Pharaoh's house, as we've mentioned later on, those that who were suffering and saw the destructions coming with regard to the murine and the livestock disease. They went out and brought in their cattle. But here are people in Pharaoh's court who are even telling him, you better obey. It's better for you to obey the Lord and do as he says and let this people go and let the people worship the Lord. Do you not see the land of Egypt is destroyed? And it just indicates to us something of the folly of Pharaoh's heart when he was going to continue to defy God, even though the land was being destroyed before his eyes. And he could see it and he knew it and the servants knew it as well. And yet he stubbornly refuses. And it was Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to obey, his defiance of God, that brought this terrible destruction upon himself and upon his. And at any time he could have obeyed and the plagues would never have come. But Pharaoh sought to bargain with God. Because as each plague took place, and as we notice there in chapter 8, verse 15, there were times when the Lord called the plague to cease and there was a little respite. But instead of using that as an opportunity to obey God, Pharaoh took it as an opportunity to harden his heart, and he started to barter with God. He started to bargain with God. And first of all, if you notice there, chapter 8, verse 25, on the first occasion after the fourth plague, the plague of the flies, he was willing for them to sacrifice unto the Lord within the land of Egypt. Chapter 8, verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Because they were going to sacrifice a lamb. And the Egyptians were no shepherds at all and despised the shepherd. But Pharaoh relented, you see, and he thought he could bargain with God, that he somehow could come to an agreement with God. And he says to Moses, you can, well, I'll relent a little bit. You can worship the Lord, but you can do it within the land. But that wasn't full obedience, and Moses knew it. That wasn't going to satisfy the Lord. Then Pharaoh went a little bit further on that same occasion. He agreed to let them go. If you look at chapter 8, verse 28 this time, he agreed to let them go if they didn't go too far away. And Pharaoh said, chapter 8, verse 28, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far. Entreat for me. So again, Pharaoh bargains with God. He puts down his plan and he says to Moses, now go and entreat God for me on these terms. But again, that's not full obedience. As we know, the Lord is going to take Israel out of Egypt and he's going to take them to the land of Canaan. They are going to go far away. But Pharaoh doesn't want them to go too far away. The third occasion, when given a special warning between the seventh and the eighth plagues, if you turn to chapter 10, he agreed to let the men go if they would leave the women and the children behind. Exodus chapter 10, and we'll take verse 8, start there. Verse 8, Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look ye to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So here's his third attempt to bargain with God. He says, well, I'll let you go, and I'll let you go a little further away than what I initially intended, but only the men go. Leave the women and the children behind. Not everybody, just the men. Well, let them go. Well, the Lord was delivering all of Israel out of Egypt, men, women, and children. And that was not going to do either. And then, on the last occasion, he promised to let all the people go if they leave their flocks and herds behind. Chapter 10, verse 24. If you look at that verse, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones go also with you. So there's this progression through these chapters where Pharaoh thinks he can barter with God, he can bargain with God, that somehow it doesn't require full obedience, that somehow it can, that the Lord will be pleased with lesser obedience, half obedience. To finish it all off, chapter 10, 26, here's the word of the Lord through Moses. It says there, verse 26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come. We're going to take everything. God is taking us out of Egypt, everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything is being redeemed out of Egypt. And therefore, Pharaoh's attempt to barter with God is going to fail. And this man, instead of obeying God, instead of relenting at any time as these plagues came upon the land, this is what he chooses to do. He thinks he can play with God. And is there not many as a sinner who thinks along the same way? That they can get away with a partial obedience or a half obedience to God? That somehow God can be played with or bargained with? It cannot be. God requires full obedience. God requires full obedience. And Pharaoh's going to discover that. The second thing I want you to consider here is that the plagues increased in severity. The full fury of God's chastening did not fall upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt at the very start. The plagues began as warnings and as exhortations to obey. And again, the Lord deals with individuals like that. The Lord begins to warn, he begins to exhort, he begins to tell them that they need to obey. And then when they do not obey, then the Lord begins to speak in stronger terms and more forthright terms. And that's how it was with regards to the plagues coming upon the land of Egypt. You see, the plagues began with general plagues, increasing discomfort, that caused annoyance more than anything else. You think about the water being turned into blood. You think about the plague of the frogs, the plague of the lice, the first three of the plagues. They were plagues that were designed to bring discomfort to the Egyptians. They were designed to stir them out of their complacency. They were not to think that somehow God was playing a game, but that the Lord was deadly serious about this. They were to obey, and the Lord was disturbing their comfort in that sense so that they might be aware of what it was the Lord was requiring of them. And those first three plagues, the water, the frogs, and the lice, were sent with that purpose, to discomfort them, to cause them annoyance, to make them aware that God was serious about this, and he was calling them to obey him. And Pharaoh had the command to let the Lord's people go. And then when you come to the next set of three, there was a step up in intensity, because they didn't hear, they didn't listen. Pharaoh hardened his heart. When the water and the frogs and the lice came, well, the Lord's going to continue speaking, but the Lord's going to speak in stronger terms now. And then there was the the loss of property, there was the loss of possessions, there was personal afflictions that were going to come. The flies and the murine and the boils. That was a step up in intensity. As I say, there was going to be the loss of property, there was going to be the loss of possessions, there was going to be physical affliction when the boils came upon the individuals themselves. Now the Lord was speaking in stronger terms. He was speaking more forthright than he was in the previous three plagues that come upon the land of Israel. And while the others, the first three, were there to discomfort and to shake them out of their complacency as to what the Lord had said, here it is, it's even becoming more personal. Because now an individual is going to be afflicted with the boils. The Lord is speaking. But is that not how the Lord works when he deals with men and women generally? He speaks in general terms. He calls to repentance. He challenges. And when somebody does not hear, the Lord speaks in stronger terms. He causes something to disturb them, to disturb their comforts, to shake them out of their complacency, that they may take heed to what it is that he has been saying. If they do not listen, if they do not obey, the Lord continues to speak, but he speaks in stronger terms. Then it becomes a little more personal. Just the same way as these plagues were becoming more personal. Maybe there's a loss that ensues as a result of the Lord speaking to somebody about obeying him and doing as he commands, and they're not listening and they're not heeding, and the Lord brings a loss just the same way as the loss of the cattle with the livestock disease, the murine here that is recorded in these plagues, brought a loss upon the people who would not obey and who would not take heed to what God had to say. Maybe the Lord has to cause somebody to suffer a loss before they take heed. And there's many a person who was saved in those terms. God was merciful and they obtained mercy in that God was speaking through a loss in some way. And it ended up bringing them to the Lord. By the start of the seventh plague, there was a substantial progression. Now death was coming. Because plague seven, the thunder and the hail, brought death. The locust was bringing destruction to the land. And then there was the darkness as the ninth plague. Again, there's a substantial progression here in these next three plagues. God is speaking now in even stronger terms. Before it was just discomfort and annoyance. Then it was becoming more personal with a loss. Now death is coming into. Now death is coming. There was the death of animals. There was the death of servants who were working in the field. There was the complete ruin of anything that was growing. There was the humbling of the nation with the plague of darkness. And we'll come to pick up on that just in a little moment. But at each stage, you see, God is speaking more strongly. The exhortation is being given with more force from God than it had been at any time previously. And still Pharaoh will not hear, and he will not heed, and he will not obey. And again, the same can happen with regards to hearing the gospel. People can so harden their heart, God has to speak in even stronger terms. But let's pick up on that ninth plague for a moment, the plague of darkness. Why should it come in at that particular time? As I say, there's an increasing severity in these plagues. There's death now. Why would the darkness come in? That wasn't so much causing death, was it? Well, maybe not. But what was involved in that ninth plague was the complete humiliation of Egypt's God. Egypt primarily worshipped the God of the sun. And to show the utter worthlessness and the inferiority of this sun god, the true God of heaven, the living God of heaven, brings gross darkness upon the land of Egypt. And the only place where there is light, if you look at chapter 10 and verse 23, the only place where there is light is in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwell. Chapter 10, verse 21. Is the exhortation, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. God was humbling this land. God was humbling the God of Pharaoh. God was humbling Pharaoh. Because they primarily worshipped the God of the sun. Well, where's their false God now? Where's the God of the sun now? And there's darkness over this land for 3 days. A darkness that can be felt. They cannot even see one another in front of them. The darkness is so great. But the Israelites have light. Because they're the worshippers of Jehovah, the God who is light. And the significance of that ninth plague is seen if you look there, if you have chapter 10 open before you. Look at verse 24. Because this is where this offer by Pharaoh, this bargain by Pharaoh is brought in. Chapter 10, verse 24, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones go with you. You see, the darkness made an impression on him. It spoke to him to some degree. He relented to some degree. He didn't want the young ones to go at all. Now he says, I'll let you go, only leave your flocks and your herds behind. But everyone else, all your men and the women and all the little ones, they can go. You see, the plague of darkness made some impression upon him, but it's not enough. And gospel warnings can make impressions upon people, but that's all it is. It's never sufficient. It never brings them to obey the Lord. It might trouble them. It might disturb them. It might cause them concern. It might even cause them sleepless nights. They might change their ways to some degree, but that's all it is. It's just to some degree. It's not obedience. And whatever changes there have been in Pharaoh's thoughts, it's not enough. But so it is in hearing the gospel. People can change to some degree, but it never brings them to obedience. It never brings them to faith. They continue to harden. We've been thinking about the progression in the plagues. There is a progression in Pharaoh hardening his heart here as well in these chapters. We don't have time tonight to pursue this altogether, but I'll mention it. You'll have to look the verses up yourselves, but I'll draw this to your attention. You see, Pharaoh hardening his heart is attributed to three different things. First of all, it is attributed to his own heart. Chapter 7, verse 22. If you go right back there to where we were reading. Chapter 7, verse 22. You read there about Pharaoh's heart hardening. And there's other places, chapter 9, verse 7, chapter 9, verse 35, that is mentioned as well. But then you see, that's the natural tendency of the human heart to harden. We were thinking about a few weeks ago in the midweek meeting when we're talking about total depravity. We said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. There is a natural hardness to the heart because of the fall of sin and how it affects every individual. There's a natural hardness. There's a natural tendency to disobey God. We're not inclined to obey God. And when the Lord comes commanding a sinner to believe the gospel, the natural inclination is to refuse, to harden the heart. And that's how it was with Pharaoh. When Pharaoh first heard the message from God, let my people go, his heart hardened, because that's just the natural reaction. But then, if you look, for example, chapter 8:15, Pharaoh, it says, hardens his own heart. Chapter 8:15, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And if you look at verse 32 of that same chapter, you'll see the same line, Pharaoh hardened his heart. At this time also, neither would he let the people go. There's some other reference as well to Pharaoh hardening his heart. So here's the next stage. So there's the natural tendency of the heart to harden itself and not to obey God. But this man sets himself against God. He determines he's not going to. He hardens his heart, it says. Willfully, deliberately, determinedly, he hardens his heart against God. And he's not going to. And then that brings us to the last stage where God hardens Pharaoh's heart. You have it, the Lord told Moses that this was going to happen. If you go back there to even the beginning of chapter 7, we didn't read from the commencement of the chapter, but if you look there at chapter 7, verse 3, where the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he tells Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And there's a number of references, chapter 9, verse 12, chapter 10, there's three references in chapter 10, and chapter 11, there's also a reference in chapter 14. There's a number of times where it says here, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. How do we explain that? Well, you see, God here leaves Pharaoh's heart to its own course. If God does not in mercy intervene and soften an individual's heart and take away the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh, here's the end of the human heart. Especially when somebody sets themselves determinedly to disobey God. There's only one end. There's only one end. That's ruin. And God just let Pharaoh's heart. He withdrew any influence of grace and goodness from Pharaoh's heart. And he let Pharaoh's heart go on its natural course. God didn't have to specifically intervene and do something in Pharaoh's heart in order to make him harden his heart. He just withdrew certain things. He withdrew any influence of God from his heart. And this man's heart is going to take its natural course. And that's why it says God hardened this man's heart. God was through with Pharaoh. And what a serious thing it is when we do not obey God. And when God speaks in ever-increasing and progressive terms, and we still do not hear, right up to the place where we suffer a loss, or even where death is brought about, And God is speaking and we're still not listening. What can it be said of an individual who does? They are a Pharaoh. And God holds this man Pharaoh up. If we go back to Romans 9 and what we said at the beginning, God holds this man up as an example and says, here, look at this man. See how the human heart acts when it hardens itself and where God lets it go on its natural course. That brings us to the final thought here, and that's the severity of the final plague. As you know, the final plague was the plague of the firstborn. It was the plague of all plagues, the plague to end all plagues, the plague that would finally and completely break Pharaoh and break the Egyptians. And it involved the death of the firstborn throughout all the land of Egypt, with the exception of those that were sheltering under the blood. Again, we thought there about light in Goshen, where the Israelites were living, and there was darkness. The ninth was the plague of darkness. There's darkness over all the land, except in Goshen, where the Israelites live. There's light in their dwellings. Well, when we come to the tenth, there's blood upon their dwellings, and they're sheltering under the blood. And they're going to be safe because they're under the blood. They've got the light and they have the blood. And they're going to be safe. But all the rest of the land of Egypt is going to be afflicted by this tenth plague, the plague of the firstborn. This is a plague of judgment. It's different in nature to all the nine that have gone before. This is a plague of judgment. God is through with dealing with Pharaoh. This is sent in judgment. He has received many opportunities to hear and to heed and to obey, and he has spurned them and he has hardened his heart and he has sought to barter with God and bargain with God, and God has no more time for Pharaoh. Do you notice there at chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, Pharaoh puts these men out. He puts Moses and Aaron out. Chapter 10, verse 27, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto them, get thee out. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Pharaoh brought it upon himself. It is Pharaoh's defiance that has brought this final plague of judgment upon himself. He has put away from himself Moses and Aaron, who will bring God's word to this man, and challenge this man, and tell this man he needs to obey God. Pharaoh says, get out, and I don't want to see your face anymore. And Moses said, that's all right. You'll not see my face. Do you know that if you work your way through these chapters, I don't have it marked in this Bible, I have it marked in another Bible, and I was looking it up this evening. 13 times did Moses speak to Pharaoh. 13 times Moses spoke to Pharaoh and told him to obey God and warned him. As the plagues came and Moses was brought again into his presence and told him once more, he was to obey, and if he didn't, the consequences were going to become more severe. 13 times this man heard. 13 is the mark of apostles in the Bible. And God is finished. And he has put Moses and Aaron out. And now there will be nothing else but judgment that is going to come upon him. And it's no surprise then that the 10th plague was such a heavy stroke upon Pharaoh and upon the land of Egypt. It was an overwhelming plague. In every house, it says, from the poorest in Egypt, right up to the king's own firstborn. Chapter 11, verse 5, there tells you that. From the poorest in Egypt, right up to the very royal house, the plague of the firstborn is going to strike. Not only among human individuals, but among the beasts as well. This is going to be devastating judgment on land. Overwhelming plague of judgment. Because this man has put out the men who would speak to him on God's behalf. How sore this plague is going to be, chapter 11, verse 6. There is a cry and a lament that is going to go up that was never heard of in Egypt before. Chapter 11, verse 6. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any. A cry of anguish and despair. And is that not where it ends? When men close and women close their ear to what God has to say, it ends in anguish. It ends in a cry. Is that not the type of cry that is heard in hell tonight? The cry of anguish over people who realize the consequences of disobeying God. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And you could write that alongside the plague of the first. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 13 times God spoke to man. 13 times he refused and he put God's prophet out. And now his disobedience ends. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth. How can there be any complaint? Can there be a complaint in Egypt about what is happening, about the plague that has come upon them? There is no grounds for complaint. The Lord told them this was going to happen. Can the sinner complain in hell? The sinner may cry out in the anguish, but can they complain? If the Lord has said, this is what happens when you do not obey God, and obey the command of it. There is a need to take heed. And we started off by saying that God holds this man up as an example, as a warning against disobedience, against the refusal to hear what God has to. And may we take that warning. May we be those that heed the warning. May we be those that obey the gospel. The command of God is tonight to obey the Lord and believe in His Son and be saved. That's the command to us today. Repent and believe the gospel. I finish off turning you over to Job 36 and two verses of scripture here that really contrast both sides of this matter that we're thinking about. They're the words of Elihu, a true friend that Job had. Job chapter 36, verses 11 and 12. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Well, how true that is, eternally. They shall, Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Out into eternity to come, that will stretch. But then look at verse 12. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. If they obey not. But if they obey not. And there's the two sides of the matter set before us. There's what obedience. And we've highlighted the fact how there were some in Egypt, when all of this was going on with Pharaoh, there were some in Egypt who obeyed, and there were some in Egypt who realized the folly of Pharaoh in hardening. May we be on the right side. May we be on the side of obedience. May we obey the Lord and obey His word. We better finish tonight. I trust the Lord will bless His word as we have meditated upon it tonight. Let's bow in prayer.